Well, hey, good morning, River Church. Welcome to TRC Online. Happy Sunday. Glad that you are with us, that you are hanging out with us on this morning. And we're just excited that we can come together to reflect on how good God is and what he's doing in our lives. I hope that Easter was amazing for you and that you just really enjoyed the sunrise service and that we were able to just experience God together. It was a beautiful, beautiful morning, and the perfect way to celebrate that Jesus is risen from the grave. Amen. So anyway, this morning I wanted to jump into my Monday's little TRC family time. You know what I'm talking about. Just where we're going to discuss a little bit more of dealing with the anxiety, the stress, the pressures that we're feeling right now and facing because of the pandemic that we're all in the middle of. I mean, we're dealing with joblessness, we're dealing with just fearfulness because of the unknown. What if I get sick? What happens? We're dealing with people that we do know that have it and have been really, really sick. Some of us might even be experiencing the loss of loved ones because of this virus. And so there's all sorts of emotions, all sorts of things going on in our lives because of where we find ourselves right now. And on Monday, I was talking about how we need to kind of refocus where we're thinking. Because when we're thinking about all this stuff, let's face it, we go back to a default. When we're stressed, when we're anxious, when we're angry, we will jump back into a default response to those emotions. Now, hear me, my psychiatry, psychology, this is all above my pay grade. But I will say that I do know that for my own life that when I get stressed out, I tend to kind of pull back, get into myself. I try to close up shop and try to hide a little bit when I get overly stressed. I find that that's something that is a default for me. When I get angry, I tend to clam up and bottle it in and not necessarily unleash it or explode, but some people do. So what are those defaults that you might have when you get into these serious scenarios and situations? I'm not sure what it is for you, but we all have those natural defaults that we go to that can potentially lead us to sinning in some way or another. And Paul even talks about this in Romans 7:15, where he says, "I'm a mystery to myself." He's like, "I don't even get this. Why do I go through these situations like I do?" He says, "For I want to do what is right, but I end up doing what my moral instincts condemn." You know, we don't know what Paul could be talking about, but I could generally understand that if he's trying to talk to people about Jesus and they're getting frustrated or they're making fun of him, you know, there might be something inside of him that wells up with anger and he might lash out or he might say something that he regrets later. We don't know what Paul struggled with at this point, but he is telling us something that we all deal with. We know what's right. We know how to deal with a situation, but sometimes we're not going to necessarily do the right thing. We're going to fall into that default mode that we find ourselves in. And so we can go back to our old patterns. But God gave us a unique gift that can kind of help us with these defaults. He gave us the gift of choice. And so when we go into these defaults, we can then kind of realize, you know what? I don't have to go back to that thing. You know, when I'm angry, I don't have to yell. When I'm angry, I don't have to hit a wall or to get angry with somebody and belittle them. When I get stressed out, I don't have to retreat. I can actually think about what I need to do and really put in the effort to take care of that stress. When I get anxious, I don't have to let it consume me. I can actually begin to breathe. I can begin to get calm and relax. We have a choice in the response to our attitudes, to our emotions. We can change that default. And I want to just read to you 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 today as we kind of look at this overall picture of changing our mindset. He says this, Paul does in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. He says, "I do live in the world, but I don't fight my battles the way people do, or the people of the world do. The weapons I fight with are not the weapons the world uses. In fact, it is just the opposite. My weapons have the power of God to destroy the camps of the enemy. I destroy every claim and every reason that keeps people from knowing God. I keep every thought under control in order to make it obey Christ. So how do we get there? I mean, how do we get to the point to where at the end of it he says, I keep every thought under control in order to make it obey Christ? This is something that I struggle with quite often, but and I'm not sure where you at with this, but I would assume that every one of us tend to go to some sort of a default that can potentially cause us to sin. And so in these frustrating times, in these stressful times, where are we at and how can we get to this place of taking every thought under control in order to make it obey Christ? Well, if you think about this from a military standpoint or from a battle standpoint, the best place to be is the high ground. Everybody wants to take the high ground because it is the most defendable position. When you are at the highest point, you have the survey of the entire area. You know where people are coming from. You can see what people are trying to advance. I mean, it is the best place to be is the high ground. And what higher place in yourself than your mind? So today I want to just encourage us to look at how we can take the high ground of our mind and how we can change that in order to make an impact for the kingdom of God so that we can actually navigate this life with new defaults. And so the first thing that we need to do is that we need to mind our head. All right? And I just want to read some different scriptures to you this morning as we are looking at this. How do we mind our head? How do we take this high ground of our mind? And the first thing is Proverbs 23:7. For it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So what's going on inside your heart and in your mind? And as you are looking this through and thinking about this, there are certain high grounds that you can decide to take, to capture, to go for, like your mind. And this is one way that we need to do it. We need to believe it in our hearts. We need to know it. As we think about it in our hearts, our minds will follow. The second thing is Colossians 3:2, where it says, "Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth." Many times we're going to be seeing scenarios in our life that are going to be overwhelming. And especially right now where all of these things kind of are seeming like they're kind of crashing in on us. It can feel overwhelming at times. But we need to remember that, as we heard from Doug Miller at the talk time that Andy did this week, that this too shall pass. The things that we're dealing with right now will pass. The things that we're struggling with will change, will move on. And so we need to remember, though, that the world that we live in will not stay constant. But what is the one constant that we can focus on? Well, Hebrews 13:8, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is a constant. He will not change. And so when we focus on him, we can find some peace in the midst of the storms that we're dealing with. So set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." What was that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is something that's not going to take place overnight. This is something that has to be done over and over and over. But it is a renewing process that we focus on so that you may prove what it is, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then let me read to you Philippians 4:8 again. It says, "So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always." How do you get your defaults changed? How do you change your focus from the temporary to the constant? It is focusing on those things that are worthy of focusing on. COVID is not going to be worthy of focusing on. A job loss isn't going to be a thing worthy of focusing on. What do those things do? The sickness, what do all of these temporary things, as we focus on them, what do they cause us to do? They cause us to get stressed out. They cause us to get anxious, frustrated, angry, you name it. These things will come about in us, and these emotions will begin to be produced in us. But when we continue to focus on those things that are authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, when we fasten our thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always, when we begin to focus on Him, we recognize that this too shall pass. And He is the one that sustains us. He is the one that is the calming agent in the storm. He is the one that can help us walk through the situations and will allow us to find some peace in the midst of the chaos. And then finally in Matthew 22:37, it says this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with what? All your mind." So as we give Him everything, as we give Him our minds, as we make this choice to say, "Lord, take it. I don't want it. I don't want to feel the stress or this pressure. I want to give it to You." When we give Him those things, when we love Him with all of this stuff, we're essentially saying, "God, I want you to handle this." And as we do that, what are we doing? We're taking the higher ground. We're giving the Lord that place in our lives, to give Him that authority to help work things out for us. The next thing, so the first thing is we need to mind our head. The second thing is that we need to use our words. So humans, on average, will speak 5,000 words a day. Now for Andy or, you know, the extreme extroverts that we know in our lives, like my son, even Jack, those guys, they're like 10,000 to 50,000 words average on a day. Jack is funny. He'll be playing video games and he'll be talking to his friends, and the guy will not stop talking. It's so fun to listen to him. And eventually we have to say, "Jack, you need to quiet down just a little bit. There's just the constant of the talking." So I think he's well over 50,000 words a day, but it's so fun and it's awesome. And I know that he's having a great time talking to his buddies online. It's a great way to stay physically distanced from one another, but still being able to communicate. So he's having a blast doing that. But we all talk to each other, right? And we all use our words. How are we using our words? In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose." So oftentimes, for any one of us, we're probably not going to choose to use negative, condemning words towards other people. I will admit that sometimes I fall short in this. Sometimes I've used negative words towards people and have said some hurtful things to people that I love dearly. But I know that after those things have come out of my mouth, I immediately regret them. And what do I do when I say them and I regret them? I start to tell myself, "Man, you're an idiot. Man, Mark, that was the dumbest thing that you could have said." How often, even though we try not to say things negative towards other people and we love other people, we don't want to say things bad to other people, and so we really choose our words well towards others, but how often are we choosing negative, condemning, hurtful words towards ourselves? I think more often than not, we are tending to talk down to ourselves, and we are our greatest critics, right? And what I want to encourage us to do today is, instead of being our greatest critic, I think we need to just fire that critic in our lives. I think we need to just get rid of them, because a critic is always going to be talking the negative. A critic is always going to be saying hurtful things, things that will tear down, things that will destroy, things that will separate. Those kind of things we don't need in our lives. So we need to fire the critic and we need to hire a coach. What's a coach going to do? A coach in our lives is going to build us up. A coach is going to encourage us. A coach is going to speak life into the situation. Fire the critic, hire a coach. And I want to just say that to each and every one of us, an inner coach, all right? That's the kind of voice that we need to be hearing, one that will build us up, one that will encourage, one that will help us change the default thought patterns in our own lives. So instead of saying, "Gosh, I am so dumb," the coach would say, "Hey, next time, you got this. Next time, you're going to say something different. I believe in you. I know you. This isn't who you are. This is a false identity. Who you are is a child of God. Who you are is an intelligent, thoughtful individual. You got this. You can do this." So we need to begin to use our words towards ourselves in a positive way. I'm going to say it one more time. Fire the critic and hire the coach. that inner voice that you have inside and begin to change the default thought patterns and take that higher ground for the Lord, this higher ground for the Lord. And then finally, let me just tell you, keep showing up. You know what? We're going to fall. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to say the hurtful thing. We're going to mess it up over and over. But let me just encourage you with this, that God has given us grace for every single moment. And he gives us new mercies every day. So when we think about this stuff and we process it in our own minds of how we can't forgive ourselves and the defaults are so hard to change, let me just encourage you this morning that God has given you the grace every single moment. He believes in you. He wants to lift you up. He wants you to succeed. He has such a glorious plan for your life. And he wants to encourage you to help be that coach, to speak that life into you so that you can get up and you can keep going. The question that I have for you at this moment, you know, yeah, God has huge grace and love for you. Do you have grace and love for yourself? That's a challenging point that I want you to think about this week as we move on. Because if you find yourself falling back to your negative thoughts, I want to encourage you today to get up, dust yourself off, and move on. You know, I was talking about higher ground moments and taking the higher ground. And during the Spanish-American War, down in Cuba, there was this hill, the San Juan Hill. Teddy Roosevelt and his Rough Riders were in this battle, and Teddy Roosevelt was fighting, and they were near this trench, near this area, and they were wanting to take the hill. Teddy Roosevelt had the choice at this moment. Do I take the hill or do I stay here? What am I going to do? And his men will say in journal entries and later on that this moment was a defining moment. There was a barbed wire fence lying on the ground. And Teddy Roosevelt knew that when he crossed over that barbed wire fence, that everything was going to change. He wasn't going to be able to turn back. That if he crossed that line, he was going to fight to the death if possible, or if needed. And so what he did, though, is he looked at that and he made the choice. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to change. I'm going to cross this threshold. I'm going to cross that barbed wire, and I'm going to fight and take the hill. The Rough Riders fought at the Battle of San Juan Hill. They took the hill. And from that day forward, Theodore Roosevelt's life really had been changed. He was a different man. He was a man that would take the hills, that would take the battles full on and embrace this life that God had given him. And I want to encourage you today to no longer look to the old defaults, to no longer look to how you respond to being anxious or angry or fearful, and how you've done them in the past, but that you would seek the Lord and that you would take that higher ground and that you would grow and be transformed by the renewing of your mind and think about all of those things that are good and amazing and righteous and powerful, and that you would focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as that constant rather than on the scenario and the situations or the storms of this life. May you today be transformed. And may you today take the hill. May you today just grow in the peace that God wants to place in your life. I want to pray for us and finish out this morning. Thanks you guys for being a part of TRC Online today. What an amazing day for us to come together. I want to encourage you to live this new life for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and change those defaults. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you would move in each and every one of our hearts today and in our minds. Lord, would you transform our minds? Help us to think about you. Help us to be focused on the constant, which is you, and not the storms that we deal with daily. God, may we, in the midst of a struggle, an anxious moment, a stressful moment, an angry moment, a frustrating moment, may we come to you. May we breathe. May we remember your word. May we change our mindset May the words that come out of our mouth be changed as well. May we fire the critic and hire the coach. And may we continue to get up over and over when we fall. May we stand back up and keep moving forward. God, we love you. I pray for each and every one of the people that are watching this today, that their hearts would be changed for you, Lord, and that they would recognize how amazing you are and the love that you have for each and every one of us. God, we praise you and thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, you guys, let me just say that if you are in the midst of these storms, God has the strength to help walk you through it. And he has calmed the storms. And I want to just encourage you, if you need to or would like to know Jesus today, it says in the Bible that we believe it in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. And I just want to encourage you that if you want to start that relationship with Jesus today, would you comment in our Facebook Live comment area in the bottom that you want to know Jesus? We want to reach out to you and connect with you. And then also, if you are watching on YouTube, you can do the same thing in the comments below. If you're on our app, if you're on our website, email us. There's a little blue connect box in the email or on the website, and you can contact us through our app as well. But guys, please let us know that you are wanting to know Jesus. Please let us know the prayer requests that you have. Our desire is to be able to pray with you and connect with you. So have a great rest of your day. We are excited for what God is doing and what he is continuing to do through our quarantine time. God bless you, and we will see you throughout the week. And of course, we'll see you back here next week at TRC Online. Take care.